Breaking news, The Designery can give you the kitchen of your dreams. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are The Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
Listen to What Remains wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can listen ad-free on Wondery Plus. This podcast contains frank descriptions of human remains and physical violence. Listener discretion is advised. On May 5th, 2020, Brian Sluss was arrested at his parents' home in Bluefield, Virginia. He was charged with murdering Monica Moynan, his ex-girlfriend, the mother of his two children. She was known as Moni to her family.
WREL's Amanda Lamb has been following this investigation from the beginning, and she joins us now from the jail with what she's learned. Amanda?
Brian Sluss was indicted by a grand jury yesterday here in Wake County, arrested in Virginia. This morning he had a hearing there. He waived extradition, which means he was willing to come back here. And about 2 hours ago, he was processed here into the Wake County Detention Center.
I spoke with Moni's family 2 days after the arrest. They were at their home in Mebane, North Carolina. Her mother, Melanie Tucker, and her stepfather, Brandon Tucker, had been waiting almost a year for this day to come.
My first reaction was I just started bawling. I was really shocked, and it was kind of like the first moment that I felt like, oh my God, it's really happening, it's really happening.
It was just a huge relief and a moment of joy for us to know that just, you know, the first steps of real justice have been set in motion.
I was super determined and still am super determined to get justice for Moni. It means everything to me because it's the only thing that I can have a part in now that I can do for her.
But what makes this case so unusual and particularly difficult for Moni's family, her body is nowhere to be found.
That's the hardest thing for me. I want her back so badly. I just want her to be able to rest, and I have that need.
Yeah, that's the number one priority for us.
Yeah.
Getting justice is number two to getting her back. They have in custody the one person who does know and have the answers, and knows exactly where she is or what exactly happened.
In this episode, how prosecutors take a murder case to court even when they don't have physical proof a murder has actually happened, when they can't find the body. From WREL Studios, this is What Remains, stories of connecting unidentified human remains to the missing and the murdered. I'm Amanda Lamb.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We were best friends. We were really close.
Sam Moynan is 4 years older than her sister, Moni.
Yeah, that's tough. We've been through it all together, and we always had each other's backs.
Sam lives on a farm an hour southwest of Raleigh, North Carolina. She talks with her hands, and even through our patchy Zoom connection, I can see the pink creeping up her neck into her cheeks as she speaks about her little sister. Like the rest of the family, the arrest is bittersweet for Sam. It feels like a path towards what she thinks of as justice, but nothing will bring Monty back.
Every time I think about us hanging out, I just think about how hilarious she was, which is such, like, humor is such a bright thing to bring to any situation. And she loved to dance and she loved to sing. She had this, like, fiery personality about her.
I spoke with Monty's mother and stepfather from their kitchen over Zoom. Melanie is a petite woman with short, light brown curly hair. When we talked, she wore an oversized blue, green, and white plaid flannel shirt, which seems like an odd choice for May in North Carolina. But then I think about how the loss of one's daughter probably makes you perpetually cold.
Monty was just kind of like a little spitfire, a little magical person.
Melanie's voice cracks at times when she talks about her daughter. We've talked a lot on the phone and through text messages over the past few months. I've covered the story for WREL-TV since Monty's disappearance was first made public by the Holly Springs Police. It's the small suburb of Raleigh where Monty lived. I've gathered photos of her from social media to include in our television coverage of the case. In some photos, she's brunette, tiny, smiling, sparkly, just like her mother describes her. The hardest photographs to look at are those of Monty with the two young daughters that she left behind, 5-year-old Kaylee and 2-year-old Nova.
She was an excellent mom. Her kids were her world. Everything about her kids she was so proud of. I mean, everything that they did, she wanted to make a post about it and take a picture of it.
In one photo, she's breastfeeding in a yellow summer dress decorated with blue flowers. She looks down lovingly at her baby girl. Her hair was green then. It changes colors a lot. But what doesn't change is how she beams at these girls in every single photo. These are Monty's children with Brian Sluss, the man accused of killing her.
WRL's Amanda Lamb is at the apartment in Holly Springs where Moynihan lived with her two daughters and her boyfriend. Amanda?
Gerald, police told us that they have been investigating this case for months. As you can see, Holly Springs police are still here in front of the apartment where Moynihan lived with her boyfriend. They searched this apartment, and you can tell that from the fingerprint pattern on the door. This week, they released search warrants in this case that give us details about this investigation.
It was from those search warrants that we first learned how the case unfolded for investigators. On April 2nd, Monica Moynihan posted information on her social media platforms promoting a home business she was trying to launch. That's the last time anyone heard from her. In the spring of 2019, Melanie started to get worried about Monty. She had gotten a few texts from her daughter and seen some posts on Facebook, but they didn't sound quite right. And she hadn't seen her daughter in person for a while, which was really unusual for them. They only lived about an hour apart. Any attempts by Melanie to organize a meetup with Monty were met with vague excuses. Mostly she was busy or under the weather. Come to find out, Monty had also not shown up at the restaurant where she worked in a nearby town. Things just felt off to Melanie. Something wasn't right. So in July of 2019, Melanie reported her daughter missing.
New developments in this case of a missing mother from Holly Springs. Today, police are telling us the reasons they believe Monica Moynihan is dead. Officers started looking for her in July after her mother said she couldn't reach her. Police now believe...
According to court documents that would come out later, Melanie's suspicions about the texts and social media posts were right. Investigators say those were coming from Monty's ex, Brian Sluss, and his ex-wife, Geraldine Sluss. They allegedly impersonated Monty through texts, social media, and even phone calls to make everyone believe she was still alive.
According to search warrants, investigators say he'd been using the phone to text family and friends pretending to be her.
He told authorities she was on drugs and had taken off. But family and friends say she would never leave her two little girls. Brian had told neighbors that Monnie was at home in bed.
Last time I saw her was about the first week of April, and she got missing.
Moynihan's friend and neighbor, Mary Southern, says she did see Moynihan's boyfriend and the father of her two girls, Brian Sluss.
So you would see him, and you would ask where she was?
Yes.
And what would happen?
He'd say she's in the house in the bed asleep.
Investigators also learned that Monnie had a protective order against Brian that had expired in May of 2019, right before Melanie started to get worried about her daughter. She and one of Monnie's co-workers at the restaurant told authorities that Brian had been abusive. WREL has learned that Moynihan took out a domestic violence protective order against Sluss in 2016, alleging that he choked her, hit her in the head, and tackled her on multiple occasions. Soon after Brian was arrested, his ex-wife, Gerilyn, was also taken into custody and charged with being an accessory after the fact to murder and for obstruction of justice for lying to investigators about what really happened.
Months of questioning, investigating, and waiting. Now, two people are behind bars for the murder of 23-year-old Monica Moynihan, or Monnie, as her family called her. The latest arrest is Gerilyn Lisbeth Sluss.
What exactly happened to Monnie is still unclear. But the detailed search warrants for Monnie's apartment and Gerilyn's house tell some of the story of what police suspect took place. Among the things they found in Monnie's home was a positive pregnancy test. Investigators wrote in the affidavit for the search warrant, quote, "We believe Monica being pregnant may have been a factor in the incidents that led up to Monica's death." The search warrants also noted that Brian's contact with his ex-wife, Gerilyn, had increased a lot in the months after Monnie was last seen. They also found a letter Monnie had written online that appeared to be about Brian Sluss.
And then there was this letter that Moynihan wrote online, which some say is her crying out for help. She details the pain of being in an abusive relationship.
Also taken out of Monnie's home, letters, a journal, a life insurance policy, curtains, silver latches off several doors, a knife, bleach, and 35 kitchen floor tiles. They thoroughly investigated the drains in her home, from two sinks and a washing machine. The list, well, it makes it pretty clear. They think whatever happened to Monnie happened in her own house. And then someone tried to cover it up. Gerilyn ultimately caved to the pressure of police. And before they were both arrested, she agreed to tape her phone conversations with Brian for investigators. In a vague conversation about why police are pursuing him, he says to Gerilyn, quote, "I really don't think like there's anything because there's no evidence or anything like that." And then he goes on to ask her, "You don't think I should run?" But even with all of this circumstantial evidence that makes it look like Brian did something to his wife and then Gerilyn helped him cover it up, there's one very important piece of evidence missing. Monnie. Monnie is still missing. So it was a very unusual move when Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman agreed to charge Brian and Gerilyn without Monnie's remains.
Lauren, how important is it to have a body when you're prosecuting a murder case?
I think it's obviously a key piece of evidence in the vast majority of homicide cases that we prosecute, and certainly, you know, helps to establish that the victim, you know, in fact died as a result of someone else's actions.
With the proliferation of crime dramas over the past decade, there's this issue we've talked about before where prosecutors have to deal with the so-called CSI effect. These kinds of shows suggest to audiences that holographics can reconstruct a body from bits of remains, or that with a few quick clicks on a keyboard, a test can immediately determine what substance is on a victim's shoes or clothing. The earth-shattering physical evidence in these shows helps investigators crack a case beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so, increasingly, jurors think real-life investigators can wave a magic wand and make scientific evidence magically appear. Blood spatter, fingerprints, and DNA linking the bad guy to the victim. But this level of scientific surety, it's not real life. Especially if you're trying a case where you don't even have a body, much less all this other stuff. It's going to be really hard to convince a jury a defendant is guilty. So for a prosecutor to move forward without it, it's a very big deal. How do they do it? After the break.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
And in local news, the Designery of North Raleigh is holding a grand opening event at noon on May 16th. Please stop by and join the party. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of the Designery.
I am True Merrill. I am the project manager. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
In the absence of a body, district attorneys like Lauren Freeman do the best they can to build the story of what happened to a victim through circumstantial evidence.
Jurors want the story. They want to know how something unfolded. And part of what we have to put forth, relying on all of the evidence available to us, is a theory of the case. You know, what happened? How did this person die?
Freeman is limited in what she can say since this case is still pending. But she does tell me she wouldn't have agreed to an arrest in this or any other case unless she thought investigators had enough evidence to take it in front of a jury.
The Holly Springs Police Department worked that case for a year before we authorized, or close to a year before we were willing to authorize charges in it.
It may seem obvious that someone is dead, they've disappeared without a trace, but you have to actually establish every piece of evidence in a court of law, proving that someone has died or been killed.
Part of the effort there was not only, you know, gathering all of the evidence in regards to what could have happened, but also trying to foreclose any other explanations.
Basically, investigators have to eliminate the possibility that Monty didn't just run away. They check to see if she's had any contact with family and friends. They check for credit card and bank account activity. They check phone records and social media accounts. It became pretty clear to them that Monty had been silent on all these fronts since April of 2019, even though it appears others had pretended to be her in several instances.
So without getting into the details of the case, you believe that you had a strong case without the body?
We did. I mean, we got to the point in the collection of evidence and the analysis of what had happened that we felt comfortable moving forward and believe it, you know, that we had sufficient evidence to support the charge and that it's something that a jury needs to make a decision on.
A lot of factors and a lot of meetings go into making the decision to prosecute without a body. Investigators and the DA must both agree that they have enough to move forward.
Obviously, it is something that we don't do very often. In the last case, between the time we charged it and that case was resolved, that body was found.
This other case Freeman is referring to is the case of Jennifer Arrington. The 44-year-old disappeared in August of 2017. When she didn't show up for work or contact her family, they got worried and reported her missing.
Neighbors say days after her disappearance, Raleigh police put up flyers around the complex looking for leads in the case.
Police found Jennifer's ex-boyfriend, Andrew Meeks, driving her car in Illinois, and he didn't have a strong alibi. Investigators also found blood in the car and in her Raleigh apartment. Tests confirmed it was Jennifer's blood. Inside the apartment, there were signs of a struggle. A broken lamp, blood spattered on the Venetian blinds. So even without her remains, investigators were pretty sure Jennifer was dead, and they had some strong physical and circumstantial evidence pointing to Andrew Meeks. Police arrested him even though they had not yet recovered Jennifer's body.
Though Jennifer Arrington is still missing, her boyfriend has been charged in her murder, and those recently released warrants walk us through the investigation and how police were able to build a case against him.
In the Meeks case, which was the first one we handled since I've been here, where we charged without having the victim's body, you know, in that particular case, paintballers came upon the body.
Jennifer's body was discovered 4 months after Andrew's arrest. It was about 13 miles away from the apartment where Jennifer and Andrew had lived together.
She was out in the woods and, you know, not far, frankly, from a residential neighborhood. And they, you know, literally stumbled upon her remains. It was reported and, you know, we were able to go out and retrieve her body and then, you know, have the medical examiner examine it.
A few months after her body was found, Andrew Meeks pled guilty to killing Jennifer Arrington and was sentenced to a minimum of 24 years in prison. In cases where charges are brought but there's still no body, Freeman says the search continues. It doesn't stop with an arrest.
And we do that, you know, of course, to strengthen the investigation, but quite frankly, also for the victim's family. I mean, so often in these situations, as tragic and horrific as they are for many families, knowing and having their loved one return to them is really important. And so we try to exhaust all means that, you know, we have, all leads we have before we ever even charge a case. But often what happens is, you know, once someone is charged, we get new leads, we get new information.
This is what Monty's family was hoping for. When someone is arrested for murder, they may be more willing to talk, to cut a deal, to tell investigators where the body is in return for a lighter sentence, like escaping the death penalty. This is something prosecutors always discuss with the victim's family before they go forward with a decision like this. Are they willing to accept that the killer may get less prison time in return for information that leads to recovering their loved one's remains?
You know, sometimes defendants, you know that that is something that is of, you know, tremendous interest to the family. And so in consultation with their attorney, they may decide that it's in their best interest to offer that information up.
And so being a prosecutor, it's a lot of things that we don't think about, like being a negotiator on the family's behalf in these really difficult situations.
How do you separate your emotions when you're dealing with these very emotional cases?
Yeah, I think it certainly can be challenging because we want at all times for victims' families to know that we care about them and that we care about their loved one and what happened to their loved one. At the same time, we have to take somewhat of a clinical approach. You have to be able to, you know, have a good understanding of what the law is, what the law requires, what juries are going to require, and what their level of expectation is in terms of forensic evidence.
Freeman says she never stops thinking about the family of the victim in every single case that her office handles.
You know, for that family and for many families, you know, knowing what happened to Monica and being able to bring her home is critically important to them.
Monty was a light. She truly was a light.
For Monty's mother, Melanie, the word justice doesn't just mean one thing, like prison for Monty's killer. It's more complicated than that.
First and foremost, I want to know where my daughter is so that she can be brought home to rest. And then the person that murdered her needs to pay for his crime, and he needs to admit it, and he needs to tell it all. And I beg him to do that and just tell us where she is.
Brian Sluss did not cooperate with investigators, and they've still not been able to find Monnie's body. But in April of 2022, prosecutors were able to do something else. They put Sluss on trial for Monnie's murder. Prosecutor Catherine Pomeroy told the jury, just because he was able to hide the body so well does not make him innocent of murder.
Don't reward him for what he did to her body. The only thing that has done is tortured this family. That is all that's done. We all know she's dead. How dare you not let them bury her?
Sluss testified in his own defense at the trial.
You deny strangling her to death or beating her up and killing her?
Yes, sir.
How about we stop the game? Where'd you put her body?
I have no clue where Monica is.
On April 28th, 2022, the jury gathered in the courtroom in front of Monnie's family.
Your fourth person has returned a verdict in case number 20-CRS-866, the state of North Carolina versus Brian Sluss. We, the jury, by unanimous verdict, found the defendant, Brian Sluss, to be guilty of first-degree murder involving domestic violence.
Monica Moynan's family embraced as they heard the jury pronounce Brian Sluss guilty of first-degree murder. Her parents addressed the court before his sentencing.
I will never get to hug my middle child again. I will never get to listen to her, be cozy with her, or talk to her about all the things, literally all the things.
Sluss was sentenced to life in prison. He showed no emotion in the courtroom, but some people who did show emotion, the jurors, they cried after this verdict, and they came back into the courtroom after the sentencing, and one by one, they hugged the family members of Monica Moynan. I have never seen that happen in any case I've ever covered. It was very emotional for all of them.
On the next episode of What Remains, DNA solves a missing person case decades later.
I would say don't lose hope. I would say certainly keep the wheels turning, because if it could happen for me after 37 years, it could happen for a lot of folks. Follow the DNA trail and be persistent with law enforcement.
This episode of What Remains was written by me, Amanda Lamb, and produced by Anita Normanly. Our executive producer was Wilson Sayre, who also edited the episode, with mixing from Mark Maximov. What Remains was directed by Shelley Leslie. Please subscribe to our podcast on whatever app you use. That makes it easier for us to get you the latest episode. Thanks so much for listening. Listen to What Remains wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can listen ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.